Please turn now in your Bibles to Romans chapter 2 and verse 4. And tonight I'm beginning a new series on God's patience. If you're wondering why this series, it's really for no other particular reason than it is good, it's always good for us just to turn our attention to God and think about who He is. We come here in the middle of our weeks, many of us with demanding jobs, demanding children, all kinds of things weighing on our hearts and minds, and how good it is for us to simply look up and be reminded of God. Now, the New Testament has six passages that speak directly of God's patience. Surely there are others that relate to it, but six that specifically mention God's patience or forbearance. And so, Lord willing, we're going to spend the next 6 weeks looking at those passages. And tonight we're going to begin with the first of those, which is in Romans chapter 2 and verse 4. And this focuses especially on the relationship between God's patience and our repentance. So Romans chapter 2, verse 4 says this: "Or do you presume on the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance?" Now, this passage teaches us something about what God's patience is, something about what God's patience does, and something about how we tend to misinterpret it. So what God's patience is, what God's patience does, and how we tend to misinterpret it. And the main thing that I hope you take from this is that God's patience should make us more zealous to repent, not less. It should make us more zealous to repent, not less. So first, what God's patience is. Now, the first thing we need to realize as we approach this question is that God's patience is radically different from ours. Because we, of course, are kind of forced to learn patience by external factors. For example, some of you had your first day of school today. I remember being in school. I remember staring at the clock and just wishing I could somehow make that hour hand move a little bit faster, but I had to be patient. Or even this morning, I was thinking about my home renovation project and all the things I want to do, and then how long it's going to take me. I mean, if only I could just snap my finger and it would be done. But you see, God, of course, is not like that. He has all power. I mean, nothing hinders him from doing what he wants immediately. Also, God has all authority. You know, we regularly face situations where someone's aggravating us, hurting us. We want justice. We want to rebuke them, to stop them, to do something to them. And then we have to remember, well, that's not our place. Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. So we have to be patient by deferring judgment to God. But God, of course, defers judgment to no one. He is the authority. He has every right and even the responsibility to carry out the sentencing. So why then is God patient? And what does it even mean for God to be patient? Right? Because unlike us, it's not something forced on him by external factors. It can only come from within himself, from who he is. We'll look again at Romans chapter 2, verse 4. And I want to suggest to you that God's patience is an expression of his kindness towards those who sin. It's an expression of his kindness towards those who sin. Notice that Paul's speaking here of the kindness of God that's meant to lead us to repentance. So he's talking about God's kindness towards those in sin. And in the first half of the verse, he talks about the riches of God's kindness and forbearance and patience. And I think he basically just sums up all three of those with the word kindness in the second half of the verse, because he's referring specifically to God's kindness towards those in sin, which is the expression of his forbearance and his patience. That's what his patience is. And as such, God's patience is rooted in his character as the God of love. As Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, love is patient, love is kind. And you see, kindness is like the smiling face of love. You know, someone can love you, but it may not really feel like it, or you may not realize it if it's a tough love. You know, if all they ever show you is discipline, that can be done in love, but it may not feel very loving to us. But kindness is how someone shows love, and we feel love, right? There's tender compassion, a warm smile and a hug, a thoughtful gift, protecting us from embarrassment, encouraging us when we're down, overlooking our faults, right? These are all acts of kindness. And God is kind because God is love. He binds up the brokenhearted. He's tender to the weak. You know, all of this is just a reflection of who he is as the God of love. But you see, when God's loving kindness gets directed at those who sin, it becomes his patience. His patience is an expression of his kindness. That's why he doesn't punish us immediately. It's why he gives us this time to repent. It's why so often he heaps on us blessings instead of curses. And he patiently forbears with us in our sin. It's not because anything outside of God makes him do it. It's because it's an expression of his loving character as the God who is kind. That's what God's patience is. Well, secondly, let's look at what God's patience does. What God's patience does. And look again at the second half of the verse. Paul says, God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance. And as I've said, God's kindness there stands for his patient kindness, right? The kindness that he shows in an ongoing way to sinners, which, as we've seen, is his patience. So we could also say God's patience is meant to lead us to repentance. That's what it does. And I want to think for a moment about three ways that it does this. So first, God's patience is meant to lead us to repentance by affording time. Right? It affords us time to repent. Time to come to our senses. Time to return to him. Time to reflect on what we've done and realize how wrong we were. And this is a great kindness because whenever we sin, it is always better for us to take the initiative and confess our sins to God instead of just waiting for him to come to us in judgment. I mean, every parent knows that it is much better for your child when they do something wrong for them to come to you and apologize to you than for them to hide it, deny it, lie about it. Right? And God in his patience, I mean, he immediately knows what we've done. And yet how kind he is to give us the opportunity to come to him in repentance. Remember God in the garden calling to Adam and Eve, where are you? Not because he doesn't know where they are. He's inviting them, come to me. Tell me what it is that you've done. And friends, he gives that same opportunity to us. As 2 Peter chapter 3 says, the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. That all would come to him and repent so that he might forgive and receive us. Second, God's patience is meant to lead us to repentance by eliciting conviction. By eliciting conviction. And that's because every day, instead of fire and brimstone falling on our heads like we deserve, we're given rain, sunshine, food, water, families, clothes. I mean, all sorts of wonderful blessings. And what a juxtaposition that should form in our minds as we think about the way we've treated God versus how he's treated us. I mean, it should be for us, I mean, kind of like the parable of the prodigal son. Just think about how the father treats the prodigal son and think about how he treated the father. And God shows us that kind of kindness, that kind of patience. Why? So that, like the prodigal, we might eventually in time come to our senses and remember there's food in my father's house. How kind God is to us. how wrong I was to run from him, to turn from him, to choose sin instead of obedience to him. Right? His patience should elicit conviction. Third, God's patience should embolden confession. You see, it's one thing to feel convicted, to realize how wrong you are, to feel guilty, but that could also make us want to run from God. You know, to feel like he is so holy, he is so good, and I am so bad. I just need to run from him in fear and shame. But you see, God's patience and his kindness is meant to lead us to repentance by assuring us that if we return to him, he's not going to cast us out. That he is a God who stands ready to receive us, to freely forgive us. You see, by patient kindness, God cries out, "Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Friends, God is saying he is patient, he is kind, because that's just who he is. He's not like us. He doesn't think like us. He doesn't act like us. He is as far above us as the heavens are above the earth. He is love. He is full of kindness. And by his patience, he is inviting us to come to him. He is emboldening us to know that we can return to him even though we've sinned. And he stands ready to receive us. And so let God's patience have its intended effect by leading us to repentance. But thirdly, we do need to consider a third aspect of this verse, which in some ways is kind of the main thing that Paul is concerned about here, which is our propensity to misinterpret this. So number three, how God's patience gets misinterpreted. Notice Paul says here, "Or do you presume on the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance?" I mean, tragically, as good of news as this is, Paul is aware that sinful man, in presumption, so often misinterprets God's patience and arrogantly jumps to conclusions about it that are completely wrong, and so it doesn't have its proper effect. And so, how might we misinterpret God's patience? Well, I think there's two ways in particular. First, we might misinterpret his patience as laxity. You know, misinterpret as if God just, he doesn't really notice, he doesn't really care. It's like we sin and then we go hide, but nothing happens. And we sort of come back out and we look around and still nothing happens. And then we just think, phew, I guess God didn't notice. I guess he doesn't really care, right? And so without repentance, we just think, I've escaped the consequences of sin. But look what Paul says in the very next verse. He says, "But because of your hard and impenitent heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself on the day of wrath when God's righteous judgment will be revealed." See, he's warning, if we misinterpret God's patience as laxity, it's sort of like staying at a fancy resort and just putting everything on the tab, and you're going around and just, I'm not getting a bill, I guess I'm in the clear, and you just keep adding it up. And Paul's warning that, look, you're actually storing up wrath for the day of wrath when God's righteous judgment is revealed. Because as much as God's patience flows from who he is as the God of love, so does his wrath. And God's patience will not last forever, because God will be faithful to himself as the righteous judge. And so it would be tragic to mistake God's patience for laxity, to think that just because God doesn't judge your sin now, he won't judge it ever. Every debt will be settled in the end. Paul says we can be assured of that. So let God's patience lead you to repentance. Let it lead you to the Savior who can take your sin away. The Savior who bids us to repent and to believe in him. Not to conclude that there is freedom from consequence without repentance. But there's a second way we can misinterpret God's patience. And that's as approval. Notice a little more of the context here in Romans 2, especially just before this. You know, Paul's talking to those who judge others. I think especially Jews. You know, those who had the law, who had this wonderful access to God's temple, you know, who were the covenant people of God, who had been chosen, who had experienced all these special kindnesses and blessings from God. And you see, Paul's concern is that instead of that patient kindness that God had been showing the Jews in this extraordinary way, instead of that motivating them to repent, it had actually made them smug in sin. It had encouraged them to look down on the Gentiles. You know, to assume we are approved in the sight of God because we have all these special blessings, and they must be less than us. And friends, we, you know, think about ourselves. I mean, we too, kind of like the Jews, have experienced so many extraordinary kindnesses and blessings of God. I mean, here we are, gathered in this place, hearing the word of God taught, and we hear from many other people God's word taught faithfully. Praise God for sound doctrine of teaching. Praise God for the kind of fellowship we enjoy. I mean, what a wonderful blessing it is to get to be part of this congregation with brothers and sisters who love us so well. What general prosperity we have. I mean, God has given us so much. What freedom we have here in America. We have many unique blessings. And how wrong we would be to misinterpret these circumstantial blessings as God's approval when we sin. I mean, how wrong we would be to look around at others that we think, oh, well, they're in a much less healthy church, or they're suffering or struggling in this way, and the fact that I have these blessings, that must be the sign of God's approval of me. You see, in other words, the measure of our holiness, the measure of our standing before God in terms of his approval of us, is not how we circumstantially compare with others. It's how our lives and our hearts compare with God's word. And where there's conformity to Scripture, to obedience to the Lord, yes, we can be assured of God's approval. Even if you're called to bear a cross, in the midst of great suffering, you can be assured of God's approval as you live a life in faithfulness to him. But where there's disobedience, where there's lack of conformity to God's word. And yet, in spite of that, there's all these kindnesses and blessings from God that he is patiently showing us. Friends, we need to interpret that the right way. It's meant to lead us to repentance. Not to just confirm us in sin. It's God giving us time to repent. It's God's meaning to elicit conviction. It's God meaning to embolden our confession so that we would respond to his great kindness, to his great patience with repentance. And by looking to the Savior, the one who can truly take away our sin. Oh, friends, let God's patient kindness lead us to Christ and repentance. And as I said at the beginning, God's patience should make us more zealous to repent, not less. It shouldn't just make us feel comfortable in sin. Oh, it should make us so much less comfortable in sin. And so as we conclude, I just want you to think to yourself, I mean, where might there be uncontested sin in your life? Sin that you've just sort of made peace with. Sin you've gotten used to. Sin you're okay with. Sin you've come to just feel comfortable about. Well, look to the riches of God's kindness and forbearance and patience. And let it lead you to repentance. Because that is what it's intended to do. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you tonight as the God of patience, the God who is so full of love, so full of kindness, that you show such amazing patience to sinners like us. God, I pray for any who are here who are feeling deep conviction. Lord, I pray that even now, you would embolden confession in them. That they would see your goodness and your kindness and not run from you, but run to you in Christ. Lord, I pray for others of us that have just grown so comfortable in sin. I pray that you would help us to reflect on your patience and that it would lead us to deeper and fuller repentance. And I pray that all of us would celebrate the great work of Christ and the hope of the gospel, that we would rejoice in that more fully tonight. We pray this for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.